GGR Pirate Radio Podcast. My name is Mike Lunsford. I am the editor-in-chief of GGR. Let's give you the big news real quick here. We now have our own domain name. It is greatgeekrefuge.com. Squarespace, always awesome, always great. They're still hosting. They're still keeping all of our stuff on their server. But now it's just greatgeekrefuge.com. With me today, Steve Monick. Steve, say hello to the folks.
Hello to the folks. How you guys doing?
I am so excited. Like, we as a website, we're growing. We're doing big things now.
Every day.
Yeah, and we just recently, like I said, we've got our own domain name now. We're actually going to be selling product here pretty soon.
Yep.
Things are going great for GGR. It is going to be a great year. 2015 is going to be a fantastic year. What's nice about 2015 is right at the beginning of the year, like a month in, we get one of the biggest sporting events of year, and that is the Super Bowl. That is what we're going to be talking about today, guys. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking about some of the crazy... I don't even want to get into them. All I can say is conspiracy theories. I don't want to...
controversy all.
Yeah, controversy. I don't even want to justify saying that it's a big deal, because I personally don't think it is.
Go to it.
Yeah. I mean, and we're going to start with that.
I guess that's just how we do our football podcast, is we go, let's talk about some sort of NFL controversy, and then we'll actually talk about the game that's going to happen, the actual physical game that you're going to watch.
Well, what's really crazy about this year, this 2014 season of the NFL, I can never remember a year where there was so much drama.
Yeah.
This was, like, the most dramatic year for football. There was, like, in the NFL, honestly, like, the conspiracy theory nut in me thinks that this was all orchestrated, that they did all of this for a reason, because they knew that, oh, well, you know what, we'll just drum up ratings, and we'll drum up interest, and we'll have all of the headlines on Twitter and on Facebook, and it'll be everywhere. People will always be talking about the NFL, even when there's games not being played.
And I mean, you always get those kind of feelings sometimes with all the major sports. I mean, how much is guys just playing on the court or the field or whatever it is? How much is it a little pre-scripted, so to speak?
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the nonsense stories, I mean, from preseason and Johnny Manziel giving the middle finger and the whole Ray Rice thing. I mean, that's how you started the year.
Yeah.
And it seems like forever ago. But, I mean, that's just how everything kick-started.
Well, and what's funny about this, too, is, you know, and I was noticing this in the way that reporters have been talking about what's leading up to the Super Bowl. They're talking about the narrative. What's the narrative?
Yeah.
What's the narrative? So even they are admitting, without admitting it, that this is all
a
scripted.
Story.
It's all a story. It's all part of this greater thing. And I've told you, I mean, when we worked at, we worked together, I almost said the name of the place we work.
Well, be careful
there. easy. We talked many times when we were working together, like how I don't feel that this NFL that we have now is the same as it was when we were kids.
When we were growing up,
And I saw a commercial that hit dead on with something you had said a few months back. Steve and I were talking about fantasy football.
Yeah.
And I said that I thought fantasy football was very disingenuous. It seems great on the surface, but there's this ulterior motive. Because you'll notice that the NFL does everything they can to promote fantasy football.
Yeah.
They've got it on their on the NFL.com. I mean, it's everywhere. They advertise it on TV. Like, it's everywhere.
They want you playing their game, and not even for, like, the gambling or the money side of things. But one of the reasons I started playing is I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I watch all the Pittsburgh Steelers games I can. But when you play fantasy football, if you have someone playing in the Bears-Rams game, otherwise you wouldn't give a crap about that game, but now all of a sudden you have a reason to watch. And that was my belief, is why the NFL wants you to do that, is so you can watch more.
And that's exactly the commercial I saw. Is there was a commercial, and it was at Christmas time, and it showed, oh, we were all Steelers fans, or we were all Rams fans, whatever it was, whatever team it was. But now we're Ravens fans and Steelers fans,
it's like
and
the
Lions
old lady
fans.
Talking,
yes.
And they're like, we're Vikings fans. And then they had Bengal babies, and he eats Roethlisberger's and bought his jersey, and trying to get you to buy more team stuff.
Exactly. And you saw the ulterior motive there. It's like the NFL, and again, because we are obsessed with Star Wars, it's like Goodell is just sitting in this throne room in New York City, that I just picture it like the throne room of the Death Star.
Where he has the two red guys on either of his
sides. Exactly, just good, buy our jerseys.
Yeah,
the hate flows freely. Like, he's
Goodell could be a Sith Lord. I wouldn't hold it past him.
No, I could totally see him wearing that little like hood thing and covering his face. And it's just, I miss good football. And there's still great games. Like, the Packers-Cowboys game. As much as I hate the Cowboys, first off, it was a catch, okay? And let me just state this. It was a catch in the physical sense that the ball came to him, he used his hands to receive it, and then fell on the ground and still possessed the ball. That's how it was a catch. By NFL rules, it was not. And Tony Dungy actually said it best on Twitter. He said that's been the same rule for the last 5 years. Cry about it all you want, but that call has been consistent.
Yeah, it has. It's the way they were phrasing it is,
yeah,
it's a good call on a bad rule.
Yes.
The rule needs to be addressed, but as it stood, unfortunately, that's the rules as they are now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, even the Seahawks falling up after that game, playing, I mean, that Packers-Seahawks game, that was one of the craziest finishes I've ever seen. There's still amazing football to be had.
Yeah.
And I think the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be not quite as action-packed as that one because I think the defenses are going to hold each other in check a little bit. But I think we're up for some actual good football to watch.
Yeah. I miss the days when it was just about the football.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be something huge for it to be a story.
And not the inflation of the football, the actual game itself.
Oh, my God. So... Growing up in the Washington, D.C. area, I've said this before, I'm a huge Redskins fan, but also, there were the lean years, there were the dark times, and those are actually still going on, but the Redskins were horrible right after Joe Gibbs retired. It was that stretch of, like, 1993 up until now. Yeah, they're still crappy. And I started, I loved football, I was a young kid, I want to say I was like 11 or 12, and I just wanted more football. I wanted to enjoy it and not just be miserable all the time. And the New England Patriots had drafted this guy, Drew Bledsoe. And I remember reading a Sports Illustrated article about him, and they called him a gunslinger. Yeah. And I was like, that's such a cool term. And I fell in love with him and the Patriots. I was like, there's this new team. Well, they weren't new. They had just rebranded. They just came up with that cool like logo that they have now. I think they call it the Flying Elvis. Elvis.
Yeah, as opposed to the guy that's actually like the Patriot that's hyped.
Yeah, Pat Patriot, yeah. Yeah, so I became a Patriots fan, and what was nice, too, is a lot of my mom's family is from that area, so I was able to get Patriots gear down here in Virginia, which is not very common. So I became a huge Patriots fan because of Bledsoe, and Bledsoe led him to a Super Bowl, and eventually Tom Brady ended up taking over for him, and I was really torn. I was like, well, who do you support, the team or the player? I was like, well, I'm going to stick with the Patriots, and I'm going to support Bledsoe. So when he went to Buffalo, I got a Bledsoe jersey, too. But anyways, to my point, I am a Patriots fan. They're my second team. As we talked about before, everybody gets an AFC and an NFC team.
The rule for me is you have your team, your area, the team you've loved since you were little, started watching the sport.
Yeah.
In the other conference, you can follow another team or player that you like, something like that, as long as when they collide, you know where your loyalties lie, other than you're a bandwagon kind of person.
Whatever. Exactly, exactly. And people accuse me of that. They're like, oh, you're a bandwagon Patriots fan. And I was like, that's great. I can show you a Drew Bledsoe jersey that I've had since I was like 12. So,
and they weren't necessarily great during those years.
No, they weren't. They had a couple of good years. They had a couple of bad years, too.
Yeah.
But they started the foundation of their franchise. And when Spygate happened, I remember everybody giving me crap for it.
Your team cheated.
Bill Belichick actually said it in his press conference recently when they were talking about Deflategate, which we'll get to in a second. He even said, you know, 80,000 people go to a football game and millions of people watch it on TV and they see the hand signals that are being done by the coaches. Everybody sees it. We recorded it and we get busted for it. He's like, I don't really see why everybody thinks that we're cheaters for doing that. He's like, I get it because they put out a memo, but I never read the memo, my bad. So people really gave him a hard time about that. And Jimmy Johnson actually said on Fox Sports that day, after it all came out, he said, you know, everybody did this. Every single person in the NFL did this. They put out the memo. Belichick didn't read it. So he got hit. And everybody's trying to pretend like they never had anything to do with it and wash their hands of the whole thing.
And you're hearing a lot of the same. I mean, I've been on ESPN reading a lot about the Deflategate.
Yeah.
And there are people coming out, oh, yeah, we deflate balls, we scuff them up, we do all these different things to put them to our preference to make it, you know, give us that slight edge that might win the game.
Yeah.
And like you're saying with Spygate, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
People were using technology, using whatever, as soon as it officially became over the line, got nailed for it.
Well, and that's any industry, whether it's football or any other sport or any other business. Finding a competitive edge is of the utmost importance.
Yeah.
Finding something to do that nobody else is doing. And I think the only people that are out there that really, really, really have a big problem with any of the stuff that the Patriots have done are, I mean, sorry, Steve, but Steelers fans, Jets fans, Bills fans, Dolphins fans, anybody who
got beat by them.
It got beat by the Patriots. And it's just sour grapes. And you'll see most of the people in the NFL are like, you know, stuff like this happens all the time. I mean, look at the Raiders back in the 70s with Biletnikoff and his, like, sticky hands, like the stick'em all over his hands.
A really cool report before the NFC Championship game talking about the gloves and the technology of wide receivers and their gloves. And they were showing clips of that.
Yeah.
Where his arms and legs, I mean, are just drenched. And it looks like tree sap. I mean, it was... You can't tell me that that's not pushing the boundary of what's allowed.
Well, even like in one of my favorite football movies that they've done, The Replacements.
Yeah.
The part with Orlando Jones where he's like covered in stickum and he makes the reference. He's like, looks like an elephant.
Yeah.
Like it's, even then, like it's, that was taken as something that's illegal, but it wasn't like, oh my God, that's illegal. They cheated to win that game. It was funny. And everybody was like, oh, ha ha ha, cheating is funny. Like it's. I don't get, well, I mean, I get why, because everybody wants to be the Patriots. Everybody wants to have that kind of consistency. But, like, for everyone to come out and be like, oh, well, they deflated. And the worst part about it is the NFL scripted all of this. Because look at all the reports have been in release. They're like, oh, well, it was 2 PSI under. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't really 2 PSI. It was more like one. Well,
one
really,
and a half.
It was like one and a half. Wait, well, no, not really. And then also, well, after halftime, we used the right balls. Okay, so explain this to me. The score at halftime was 17-7 Patriots. The Patriots scored 23 unanswered points. Brady had a better completion rating in the second half of the game. They handed the ball off to LeGarrette Blount, who just ran over everyone.
Yeah, he had 3 touchdowns. I don't care if he was carrying a big old rock. It doesn't matter what the pressure was. He was carrying that ball to the end zone.
Yeah, and it's
he scored more than the entire Colts team.
Exactly. Yeah, by himself. Exactly. Yeah, he single-handedly beat them. I mean, and they did nothing to stop them. So how is that really going to make that much of a difference? And if anybody says, oh, well, 10 points is, well, they got the momentum because they kicked a field goal at halftime. That's garbage. That is total garbage. You are so full of it. You're just grasping at straws.
I think it's irrelevant for the outcome of the championship. I mean, it was evident on all 3 phases of the game that the Patriots were better. I mean, did an inflated ball that was kicked off, and they used different balls for kicking, by the way, bounce off of Josh Cribbs' face, and the Patriots got a turnover there. That had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Everywhere the Patriots were a better team.
Yeah.
The only way this is going to affect them is in coming up to the next season, if they have fines, if they lose a draft pick, anything
like that.
And
that's if they have to prove it, too. Yeah. And when they're grasping at straws and saying, well, the ball boy went to the bathroom for 90 seconds, and he could have deflated a... You mean to tell me that a ball boy is going to be able to deflate 11 balls to the exact same PSI specifications in 90 seconds? Or is it possible that maybe he took the balls that he's responsible for, which he's not supposed to let leave his sight, into the bathroom with him and took a whiz, because guess what takes about 90 seconds for guys to do?
Yeah.
Whiz, wash your hands, grab your balls. Footballs, folks. And then move on.
There's a whole different controversy we're talking about here, Mike.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Not wash his hands, touching stuff. I don't like
Oh, man. Got to get hand sanitizer. It's a mess. It's a disaster.
And the other thing, what I've been thinking about, too, is... Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about what the quarterback prefers in the way the ball feels, the way it's broken in, it's pressure and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
How would the ball boy know exactly what Brady prefers outside the boundaries?
Yeah.
I mean, then you really have to talk about a real conspiracy where Brady and the ball boy, and they said, okay, this is the real football. This is what I wanted at. Go and do something and make it. I don't believe it. I mean, I just don't.
And what's great, though, is the players coming out and deflating, pardon the pun, the argument and the investigation that the NFL has. I can't remember the guy's name, the guy who intercepted the pass in the first half for the Colts.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. He kept the ball.
He kept the ball. He kept the ball, and he gave it to the equipment manager. Now, everybody said initially that he gave it to the equipment manager because he thought something was wrong with the ball. Turns out he wanted to keep it because, hey, this is something of note. I intercepted Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game. If we go on winning because of my interception, I want to hold on to this ball. He actually said that.
It's a keepsake.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, for people to be like, oh, well, he felt something was wrong, they're crafting, again, the narrative to try to make it look like the Patriots are cheaters. They're trying to make this Super Bowl more dramatic than it needs to be, which it doesn't need to be any more dramatic than the championship game between right now and up and coming potential dynasty and the biggest dynasty that we've had since the beginning of the 21st century.
I think it goes back to what you said, narrative. I mean, we both in the media, our stories, everything we want that 3-act story structure.
Yeah.
And with that, there has to be, you know, the setup, the rise and climax, and then the conclusion. And there always has to be a good guy and a bad guy. every Super Bowl has this. There's always that story.
Yeah.
And clearly, just this year, the Patriots are going to be the bad guy. That's just the way that it's been structured.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that's always the best thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever going to influence anything in a major way where, like, some ref calls something different. I don't think it's going to affect it that much.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, like you said back in the day, why we can't just let the game be the game and just watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't understand where all of this came from. I don't understand the need and the desire for this. I don't know why Good Housekeeping has to convince their readership to be prepared to wear a very pretty football-themed dress and make a very special big game party. Like, the NFL is loving this, and we're all just suckers for it. And that's the worst part, is I love sports. I love football. And I can't stand being made to feel like a chump. And that's what I feel like the NFL is doing to us right now, is you are just their sucker. They can pass anything off on you, and you'll buy it. And I'm just...
Literally, you'll have to buy their stuff.
Yeah, and I just... I'm not down for that. I think that's ridiculous. I think it's insulting. And... it just continues to grow and grow and grow. Now, we have gone a good chunk of our podcast already. Like, all we've talked about is drama.
Yeah. Like you said, that's what we do with ours. We talk about the controversy. Yeah. We get all riled up. And then we talk about the game.
You know what grinds my gears? Yeah. I got to say, one of the cool things that's come from this, to tie it in with what we do at GGR, have you seen the back and forth between Chris Pratt and Chris Evans?
No, I have not.
Okay, so for those, I mean, I'm sure you guys know, Chris Pratt is Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Evans, Captain America. Chris Evans is from Boston. Chris Pratt is from Seattle. On Twitter, right after the Seahawks won and the Patriots won, they went back and forth. And Pratt was like, oh no, Evans said to Pratt, he was like, hey man, for the next 2 weeks, we're not friends. We're enemies. This is war. And Pratt was like, oh, really? All right. So what are the stakes if my team wins and your team loses, kind of thing? And it's really kind of cool. Again, it sounds scripted, but at least for this one, it's for a good cause. And it's not just to further their own, like, their own pockets.
So they're not selling more Captain America issues or anything like that.
Exactly. What Pratt made Evans agree to was that if the Seahawks win, Evans has to fly to Seattle. To the children's hospital that's there in Seattle, dressed as Captain America, and wave the 12-man Seattle flag.
That's awesome.
But, like, to be there with the kids, to see the kids, sign autographs, take pictures with them, because his team lost. How awesome is that?
Kids who need a cheering up.
Exactly.
Seeing Captain America run around with their team's colors, that's such a good cause. Yeah, I love that.
But that, like... you got that, and then you got the NFL trying to make a big deal out of something that really wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
That had no impact on the game whatsoever, you know? Like, it's just funny that you see some people using their high stature and high power and celebrity for good. But, I mean, this is Star-Lord and Captain America here, like, versus the Emperor. Emperor Goodell. Yeah, like, so, I mean, now I want to see that comic book. Star-Lord and Captain America versus the evil NFL empire.
I would... That thing would sell out. I would buy every issue that I would read the crap.
I'm going to have to talk to Ben and be like, Ben, we might need to draw this, bud.
We're going to need to get some rights. We're going to get some people from Marvel on the phone. Well, Marvel owns Star Wars.
Hey.
As far as the comic rights. I mean, it could happen, I guess.
There you go. Just make it a fictitious football league. So let's talk about the big game.
Yeah, the actual game that's going to be played on the field.
Let's talk about the big game. Seahawks and Patriots. Like I said, I mean, the narrative that we got going right now is the potential up-and-coming dynasty that could be the Seahawks. If they win two, they'd be the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Since who, Mike?
Since the Patriots.
Oh, right.
Exactly, in 2003 and 2004. And then you got the Patriots, like this juggernaut, this legacy that just continues to churn out teams that managed to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, they haven't been so successful in the last couple. They lost the last two to the Giants.
Both times.
Yeah, which still baffles me. But honestly, I think, and we've ripped on him so hard on this website because he makes me so mad. Wes Welker.
Here it comes.
Because Wes Welker, you are to blame. You know what? And if you got something to say to me, Welker, I mean, let's do this, man. Come on. I've been waiting for a long time, okay? You'd probably take me, but, I mean, as long as you're not hitting the molly before you come here.
Come to the racetrack.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Welker makes me so mad because the guy caught, like, 175 passes in the season, right? And then you get into the Super Bowl, and you can't catch one that would put your team ahead. Like, to win the game, you could have won the game and you can't catch it. Like, what good were those 175 catches? They were worthless. And then you go to the Broncos and you do squat.
Yeah, so, he has done nothing there.
All I gotta say is the proof's in the pudding now, and you were so butthurt that the Patriots didn't re-sign you. Well, now you kind of see why.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe justified. It was justified. It absolutely was justified. But anyways, yeah. So.
And I think, speaking of who the Patriots don't have and who they do have, their signings and things like that, the two guys they picked up this year, believe it or not, that I think is going to make the biggest difference, Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis in their secondary. Now, Brandon Browner, he used to play for the Seahawks. He was on their Super Bowl winning team last year. So I think their secondary, coupled with Patrick Chung and Devin McCourty, therefore, the Seahawks don't have a great wideout game.
No, they don't. And I think especially after they got rid of their best athlete. He's now with, he's now a Jet.
Gonzo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically in Siberia of the NFL, the Jets. So I feel like the Patriots can use all the rest of their resources to stop Russell Wilson from getting out and running like he likes to do with Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And just say, these four guys are going to take you.
We're go ahead and beat us.
Yeah, if you're going to beat us, it's going to be Russell Wilson throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I put my money on the Patriots. They actually have a pretty stout defense. They let up yards.
Yeah.
They do tend to let up yards, but they get a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
And they don't let up a lot of points.
No, they don't. No.
And if
ever since that one game against the Chiefs early in the season, they haven't really let anybody
score that many points. Aberration. And the reason that happened is because I was playing against the person who started Alex Smith in my fantasy football league. That's the only reason the Patriots did well.
It was all a conspiracy.
They didn't do well on the defense.
It was
Alex
all a
Smith,
conspiracy.
I think he threw for like 17 touchdowns, something like
but
that.
But none of them the wide receivers, actually.
Right, yeah. Not once all year did they that.
That's such a weird stat,
weirdest
too.
Stat of the whole year.
Yeah.
Not one wide receiver from the Chiefs caught a touchdown. But yeah, I think that's where the Patriots...
Yeah.
That's who I'm picking. I think the Patriots... I think Brady's getting his fourth.
Yeah.
And Belichick and Brady, more so than any other coach-quarterback pairing, have made the Super Bowl. They aren't going to be flustered by any of this nonsense we talked about. They're going to be ready and gearing to go.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are young.
Yeah.
They have energy. They're ready to go. I don't know if they're going to be mentally ready to go with all that. And then the last thing, Richard Sherman,
he
got that elbow injury.
Yeah.
Torn ligaments in his elbow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're trying to stop Brady in his pass game, probably going to need your entire arm to
most,
do that, would be my
likely,
guess.
Most likely. And, I mean, all bias aside, I mean, I'm rooting for the Patriots. I want them to win the Super Bowl. I think they have a good chance because the Giants aren't playing them this time. So they've got that going for them. But more importantly with all of this, too, is with the Seahawks, and this is why I think it's going to be a really, really good game. Every time I think the Seahawks are going to lay an egg, and it's not a bird pun, every time I think that they're not
going to... It is now.
Yeah, it is now. Yeah, I just made it one. Every time I see them play a big game, and I think that they're not going to come out and do something, they do. That team just performs.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what's going to go against them, is that they're not in Seattle.
True.
If this was like just a regular season game, and they played the Super Bowl at Seattle because they were the home team, I'd say that Seattle's going to win this game. But it's not there. It's in Arizona. It's in a neutral site. I don't think that the Seahawks have the guns on offense to run with the Patriots.
No.
I think that the Patriots offense is going to... I'm not going to say they're going to manhandle it. It's not going to be a blowout. I think the Patriots may come away with this one maybe like 24-17. Maybe like 30-27. I mean, it's going to be a close game.
Yeah. It's going to be within one score, I would say.
I just don't see the Seahawks... I mean, look at what Russell Wilson did against Green Bay.
Nothing.
He did not look good at all.
It was one of the worst games, and I think going against that, Belichick and Brady have had 2 weeks to look at that game tape and say, what the heck did the Packers do to make them fall apart in the first half?
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They take away your best options. They're going to take away Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I think the secondary is enough. To me, the Seattle defense and the Patriots offense, that's a push.
Yeah.
So when you're comparing the other side of the ball, I think the Patriots' defense is better than the Seahawks' offense, and that's where I'm giving them the edge.
And that's what won them their Super Bowls. To be perfectly honest, I mean, as much as like Brady has become this like saint in the New England area because of what he's done, those defenses are what won those championships.
Yeah, Teddy Bruschi, McGinnis, all those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rodney Harrison, Ty Law on the first one.
Was it Richard Seymour?
Richard Seymour was there. I mean, those guys made that team. That defense kept them in games. And if you look at their record, with the exception of the year that Randy Moss came, or I think he was there for two or three seasons, but that first year that he was there when him and Brady were just like hooking up like every fifth
where
play.
Where they got the record? I think it was 07. Yeah.
Yeah. That, with the exception of that year, their offense had always just been good enough to do what needed to be done. and score points when you needed. And they were just winning by, like, a field goal here and there. And, like, Vinatieri was kicking most of those game-winning field goals. So that's how they won their games. And it kind of shifted somewhere in there. They started becoming this offensive juggernaut. The defense wasn't the key, the cornerstone anymore. Those guys had gotten older. And that's where I think – that's why they lost those two Super Bowls to the Giants. Is the Giants saw that. They knew that. They're like, if we can stop their offense, they're toast. They're not going to be able to hang with
us.
They
knew Brady was their offense. And they – I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and they were talking about really what you want to do to stop Brady is bring interior pressure right up the middle over their line. And that's where they're weakest this year.
Yeah.
So if the Seahawks can get a push up the middle – because Brady's actually pretty good about stepping up in the pocket if you bring – outside pressure, but he's not fast like a Russell Wilson. So if you bring it up the middle, he's not rolling out like Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kaepernick. Yeah. He's not doing that. Yeah. He's just going to try and throw it over them because he's 6'5". He's taller than I am.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what the Giants did so well.
Yeah,
they had, Tuck and Jason Pierre-Paul, and they brought Strahan
was there on the
end, dudes right up the middle, and they just noticed what they could do to stop Brady.
Yeah.
They stopped him. That's why they won.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
Welker didn't catch the ball. So.
Friggin' Welker. Like, what a jerk. And honestly, like, we joke about this, and we made so many jokes about Welker on GGR. Like, if I ever met the guy in person, I would be like, look, man, hey, it's really nice to meet you. I think you were great when you were in the Patriots. Can't believe you left to go to Denver, but good for you, man. I would never bring up that kind of stuff, because you don't do that kind of stuff.
He's a human being.
He is a human being, yeah. And there's so many people that I find it hilarious, and this is a quick aside to more nerd stuff, but like with, I was reading a story about the whole Gamergate thing.
Yeah.
And one of the ladies, and I cannot remember her name right now, who's like at the forefront of Gamergate, had all these people on the internet give her all of these threats and all these awful things, and like they doxed her and they did all this stuff. And she did this like open forum for anybody to come talk to her and ask her questions, and they were there at the place, and the guys who were there from Gamergate stood up to ask questions, and they were like, don't you think that maybe you should, be responsible? They didn't have the nerve in person to say the things that they said on the internet, and I thought it was hilarious, because she was just like, really, that's all you gotta say? You got nothing else? And, like, it's the same thing with this, too, like, they wanted to say something.
Is a great shield.
It really is, and they wanted to say something, but they couldn't. Like, do I really actually hate Wes Welker?
No,
because you know what? He got him, helped the Patriots get to the Super Bowl. Like, good for him, man.
Yeah, this is a comedy podcast.
Exactly,
it's designed to make you laugh and chuckle and think about things and stuff like that.
Well, and also, there's not a category on iTunes for podcasts about hate.
Yeah,
like. Which, I mean, might be very an angry, scary place to visit. So, good job, Apple, on that one for not doing that category. I mean, you guys are thinking ahead. Forward thinking always. That's good great. Word. Yeah, absolutely.
So, back to the Super Bowl. I don't think, officially, you said you're rooting for the Patriots. Who do you think is going to win? Who's your pick?
I can't. It's so hard, because every time I thought that the Seahawks were not going to win, they managed to pull it out. Like, I thought that last year Manning was just like he was destined. There was just like this touch from above that he was going to pull it out, and he was just going to find some way to win. And again, the narrative, the NFL would just love that, because they love them some Mannings.
Yeah.
And it would just be this perfect thing, and it was just so awesome watching him just crumble and fall and the Seahawks just revel in that. So there's a certain amount of me that really kind of likes what Seattle's done. They've built this team from scratch. They've done everything the right way, with the exception of, like, their defensive backs being on Adderall, but that's another story. I think, like I said, 30-27, 24-17, something like that. I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I don't see Seattle. I could see Seattle winning this game. I don't think it's going to be anybody's going to run away with this.
I think it's a good move. I wouldn't be shocked if either team won. I don't think it's. And I didn't think that last year. I didn't think it was going to be a blowout, but lo and behold, Seattle showed up. Denver did not in any way whatsoever. Maybe we're dead wrong and one of these teams wins 50-0, but I don't think that's the case. I think these teams are both built and ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And with what the Patriots have now, think about it. Like, the wide receivers, you take the wide receivers out of the game, okay? You can't pass. You hand it off to LeGarrette Blount. That other guy, Gray, their running back.
Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray ran for like 200-plus yards against the Colts in the regular season. Now, The Seahawks and the Colts are two different.
Mike, he ran for 199 yards.
Was it really?
Touchdowns. What? Yeah.
You know, that's right, because you're a fantasy football nerd.
Because I remember everything. Yeah, because I owned the Patriots' other running back, Shane Vereen.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually, I mean, he didn't do jack in that.
Yeah, but he's more of a receiving back anyway.
Exactly.
Out of the backfield,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, that's could be a difference maker as well. But yeah, Jonas Gray, LeGarrette Blount. I think LeGarrette Blount actually does something this game, too.
Well, and it really comes down to matchups. Because if you can take the receivers out of it, can you take the running backs out of the game too? Can you take the fullback? Can you take the tight end? And the Patriots have an answer in every single one of those positions. Whether it's Amendola or whether it's Edelman or it's LaFell, you've got three different receivers that have shown that they can play well. You've got Gronkowski at tight end. There's the other guy, and I cannot remember his name, the tight end as well. Yes.
They picked him up from the Bucs when they traded Logan Mankins in the preseason.
Yeah, and they seem to do that every year. They take a big-name player and they send him somewhere.
And everyone's like, what are you doing? And then it works out.
And like, then
they do know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unlike the Colts with that whole Trent Richardson thing. He got suspended for the upcoming season just recently. So
what a doofus.
What a mess.
What
just shows,
a doofus.
I mean, there's a reason Belichick and Brady get here every year.
Yep.
And it's not just on the field. They do a lot of legal things.
Yes.
In the head office there with the trades and the draft picks and the things they do there, too.
And there was a stat that I saw somewhere that said that the two teams that in the last 3 years that hoard draft picks the most are the Seahawks and the Patriots, and then it's not a shock that both of them in the last 2 years have been Patriots to the AFC Championship and the Seahawks now to their second Super Bowl. So you're showing that when you hoard draft picks and you build from within and you do things the right way, that you're going to be successful.
Now, I think you do have to have a strong coaching staff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
About 6 months ago, I was reading an article that ESPN did, and it was a real nice piece about the big blockbuster trades that you see at the beginning of the NFL draft, where one team gets the first round, the first overall pick.
Yeah,
and
that, like RG3 for like three picks.
That was a huge one they used as an example of.
Yeah.
And then they showed the progression of, for both teams, not just the one who got the star player first or second pick overall, but how the other team did with those other draft picks.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really interesting read. But yeah, it's when the teams keep their picks, when they inherit other picks or trade for them, and like Mike said, build their team with a strong core, they don't change their coaching around, those are the teams that you see winning. When you go all out for one guy, it doesn't end up working out great because one man does not a team make.
Nope. So, and it's and I gotta say, in Jeff Fisher, coach of the Rams, in the ultimate like middle finger to the Redskins.
No, I know what you're
that game about, against the Redskins, where he made his captains all of the picks that the Rams had inherited from the Redskins for getting RG3.
It was like five guys from the.
He just it was oh my god, and they just trounced the Redskins that game.
And RG, was that the first game that he was just benched?
I can't even remember. I think he was benched. I don't remember.
Because I know Colt McCoy played that game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and you know, I want to say it was after the 49ers game. He got benched after the 49ers game. Yeah.
So it's like literally like the guy that you traded for, you're not even starting. Here's the five guys you could have had.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's.
Well, neither of those teams are Super Bowl bound.
No, they're
anytime
not.
Soon.
No, they're not. I mean, we'll see what happens with the Redskins with their new general manager, McLuhan. They're grabbing a lot of guys that are a lot of coaches. I mean, they're getting a lot more coaching. They're getting Perry Fuel, who actually led the Giants' defense to their second Super Bowl win over the Patriots. They grabbed
good, because they need to do something with that defense, with that secondary.
Well, he's their defensive backs coach, and I cannot remember the guy's name. Joe Barry. He was the linebacker coach for San Diego. He's going to be their new defensive coordinator. But he actually, and the people are giving him a really, really hard time for this. He was the defensive coordinator for the Lions when they had their 0-16 season. And everybody's like, well, I can't believe the Redskins would pick this guy up. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. And he made a really good point. Like, he must have interviewed really, really well. Because he actually said in an interview, he said, you know, when bad things happen, he's like, it's what happens after the bad things happen that shows what kind of person you really are. And your growth from something like that happening. And I was like, I'd hire him as a defensive coordinator after he said something like that. Heck yeah, let's do this.
He basically quoted Batman, you know, why do we fall so we can pick ourselves back up? So anyone who's going to basically quote the Dark Knight, I'm fine with.
Yeah, we say this now and then they'll be like 4-12 again.
Yeah.
Like worst defense in the league, but.
I don't really want to talk about defensive coordinators right now.
Oh, That was interesting with LeBeau.
My fiance was literally just like, so Dick LeBeau left, and I'm like, what are you reading, like The Onion or something? Like, this is clearly not
there's no way this is
like,
real.
Where are you getting? Yeah. She's like, no, like, he's not with the team anymore. And I couldn't believe it for, like, the longest time.
But it was the way that he worded it, too. He didn't say, I'm retiring.
He's like, yeah, I'm just resigning. I'm just not going to be with the Steelers anymore. And I was like, what?
And it was kind of strange because he's been a Steelers guy. I mean, he left for a while and he was coach of the Bengals. But, like, for him to leave and say, I don't want to be part of this organization, but I'm not retiring, was really kind of strange. What's going on up in Pittsburgh?
I don't really know. Like, I haven't read a lot about it because I've been focusing more on the stuff that's happening now, and that's more off-season stuff for me.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds like there was some kind of conflict there internally.
Yeah.
The Steelers are really one of the best teams ever about their coaching. I mean, we've had three head coaches.
Ever.
Ever.
The Redskins have had three in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Coordinators, though, Dick LeBeau was the only rock. I mean, we've gone through offensive coordinators, different D-line. I mean, we've gone through coaches and or coordinators left and right.
Yep.
It's the head coach that's the rock there. So it's surprising that the one coordinator that's been there for forever, it seems like, just decided to go. So, it's kind of troubling. But the defense wasn't great this year. And I'm not saying it was Dick LeBeau's fault. We had a lot of rookies, a lot of injuries. Like, it's either we have guys that are in their first or second year, or guys that are in, like, their 12th year. There was nothing in the middle, really.
Yeah.
Except for, like, the one guy who made the Pro Bowl, I think Lawrence Timmons is the only guy who's really kind of in that middle.
Yeah.
And he's closer to the older end, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think we have a lot of work. We're going to be rebuilding that entire half of our team.
Well, it's just interesting, too, because we have two teams represented here, you know, Washington and then Pittsburgh, that are polar opposites in the way that they handle their business.
Yeah.
Like, the Redskins, and I put it in the article that I wrote about right after they beat the Cowboys, where I was so proud of it, and I put a picture of...
You're on, like, a high, and you just, like, wrote it in 15 minutes.
I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, the sun shines a little brighter, the day is just great.
Skipping through
exactly, just high-fiving everybody, just, like, giving hugs to random strangers. There's a picture I put on there of a t-shirt, and it has the Redskins, like, spear logo, and it says, off-season champs. And it's so fitting for them because they would sign, like, Albert Haynesworth or another big name. Like, this year they signed Deshaun Jackson. And that's their big thing. It's like, hey, we won the offseason. Good for us. Look at us. We won the offseason Super Bowl. But then when it gets to the season, it doesn't matter. And there's always a story. There's the name controversy. There's the fact that Dan Snyder sued season ticket holders at some point.
Yeah.
The fact that just awful things all the time coming out about the Redskins organization. But, like, you never hear anything bad about the Steelers organization, ever.
Every once in a while, someone will come out, like, obviously, a couple years ago, the stuff with Ben.
Ben.
I think he was just...
Oh, Roethlisberger.
I think the success, because he had some success very early on.
Yeah, he did.
And I think it was very Brady-esque, where we had just an amazing defense, and Ben did enough in conjunction with that to win the Super Bowl and everything. And I think that just went a little bit to his head. I mean, you don't understand the level of heroicism that he was seen with in the city of Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy could walk on water, basically.
Did
I
you
think
ever
maybe
see...
that went a little to his head. He's definitely matured now. And then Bell, Le'Veon Bell and Blunt this year got caught, you know, smoking weed and everything in their car. But every once in a while, there's a story like that. But, yeah, you don't see a lot written about him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way I like it. I just be quiet. Win the game on the scoreboard. I don't need to hear headlines. I just want to see wins in the W column there.
Did you ever see the Kevin Smith movie, Zach and Miri Make a Porno?
Oh, yeah.
The part where they're in the coffee shop and the drunk dude shows up and he was just like, oh, this is a Steelers game and Roethlisberger hugging and chugging football! Like, that's how I just pictured every person from Pittsburgh when it came to Roethlisberger.
It's not wrong. Yeah, that's the Kevin Smith movie and it's filmed, I believe, in Monroeville.
Yeah.
Which is like 25 minutes from Pittsburgh, just south of it there. Pretty big city there, and that's pretty accurate.
I just like,
typical Yinzer.
When all of the stuff was going on with Roethlisberger, with all of the stories, all I could picture him sounding like, and in my mind, the way the scenarios happened, was Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. Just like smacking girls on the butt and being like, hey, all right.
What I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
He just had that like smarmy charm where girls are just like, look at him. He looks like Shrek, whatever. Like, and he was just like, I'm Ben Roethlisberger. Why would you not? Like, it's...
And the girls of the Pittsburgh area, I mean, they are... as big of sports fans, yeah, if not more so, yeah, than a lot of the guys.
And
there.
That's,
I mean,
that's one of the great things I like about your city, oh, is you that like any, even the male, female, it doesn't matter. Everybody's passionate. And it's
you
awesome.
Go to any,
it's too bad I hate
sports
your sports
bar,
teams.
Restaurant, anywhere, you see girls wearing Pens jerseys.
Yeah.
You see them wearing Pirates jerseys.
Which
Steelers
makes any,
gear.
I mean, wearing a Pens jersey. I'm rocking my Capitals jersey right now because last night the Capitals destroyed the Penguins 4-0.
Let's not, all yeah. right, Mike, this is a football.
You're,
we're talking about
you're
the
ruining
Super Bowl.
This, Mike. You're ruining
we're not,
this.
We're not talking about that right now.
Yeah, that's a great way to make any beautiful girl ugly, though, is to put a Penguins jersey on her.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gorgeous.
No, it's when you put a Ravens jersey on them, then they just...
That we can agree on.
Garbage.
We can agree. Baltimore is a dirty, ugly place.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
It's a cesspool.
But yeah, I mean, that's just... being a fan and talking about, like, joking, doing that kind of stuff now, I mean, that's why we love the sport. And I think going back to what we said at the beginning, you know, some of the controversies, some of the nonsense the NFL does...
Yeah.
That's why we get so passionate about it, because we love the sport. We love watching it. We love talking about it.
Yeah.
We love debating which team's better, you know,
absolutely,
who you would take.
We have those have those moments. We talked about Nostalgia November. We had those moments of nostalgia where we were feeling emotionally with our teams when something great happened. Like, I remember being a kid, I want to say I was in fourth grade when they beat the Bills in the Super Bowl, when Washington beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. And to school.
Everyone got to beat the
Bills.
Everybody
got to beat
Super
the Bills. But... Going to school and it just being great, and you're wearing your Redskins gear, and it was just like high fives everywhere, and it was awesome, and everyone was happy. It was on the news. They were always talking about it. They were playing Hail to the Redskins. It was just a great time, and that's what we all want. I mean, you've gotten to see a couple Super Bowls in your time.
The game-winning catch against the Cardinals 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, me and my friends, we were elated. We were watching it in college together. I mean, we were going insane. You would have thought people were being murdered in my house the way people were screaming in there. So, I mean, I wish I could just have that passion all the time for all the games and not have to worry about some of this off-the-field nonsense.
Absolutely. And it was the same thing for me, because I was actually I spent 5 years in the military. I was in the Army. And I was in basic training when the Patriots played the Rams in the Super Bowl. The Patriots were 14-point underdogs.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody was a Patriots fan.
That was the greatest
then.
Show on turf. No one was taking down
nobody was
going to
take
boys.
Them down. Exactly, yeah. And being, you know, skinny and having a shaved head and being stuck in this little room watching TV, watching the Super Bowl, because they let us watch Super Bowl instead of doing push-ups for a day. It was awesome. But, like, watching the team that I rooted for, that I loved, that I watched come from a 1-15 season drafting their franchise quarterback, that guy getting hurt and their backup coming in, leading them to the Super Bowl, and then not only leading them to a Super Bowl, leading them to a win and beating the Rams, it was amazing. It was awesome. It was like, you can't touch that. And for some people, they don't get into sports, and that's what I would say is the best part about it. And it stinks for so many kids that are Redskins fans, or their parents are Redskins fans now, because they haven't gotten the experience in any of that.
Yeah. And such is the nature of sports, and what I hope for, you know, at the end of this podcast here, is that if you're bringing up a little one, if you're, you know, you have family, that kind of stuff, and you can enjoy it, just keep it to the on-the-field stuff and talk about teamwork and working and overcoming odds and those kind of things, the great things about sportsmanship. Yeah. And do your best to try and avoid all that other nonsense and the business and the profits and that kind of stuff of NFL. Just try and focus on the game and the fun and the teamwork of it.
Absolutely.
Because I know that's what I'm going to be doing this Super Bowl and coming into the seasons in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. So my pick, I mean, we're both on board for this, which is shocking because you're a Steelers fan, but we're both for the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, I know. And I try to put emotions aside and everything like that. I'm kind of atypical in the Pittsburgh area there. Yep. I don't harbor ill will against the Patriots because I can respect the team if they just beat us.
Yeah.
When a team's like horrible, like the Ravens, I root against them every game. I don't care who they're playing. They could be against a team of convicted felons like in The Longest Yard, and I'm rooting for the felons in that game because that's basically playing against the Ravens anyway. So I'm picking the Patriots. I'm rooting for them. And Grant, if you're listening, you're welcome. So
that's right. Yeah, your brother's a Patriots fan.
I mean,
like,
since he was a kid, he came by honest.
Yeah.
About the same time you started liking him, he did too. He was able to pick up football and understand it when he was little, and he was like, I like the Patriots.
That's so funny though. Like, Steve and I both have, we're both the oldest of two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our little brothers are both bucking the family trend. Like, my dad is a Redskins fan. My grandfather is a Redskins fan. My mom was a Redskins fan. I'm a Redskins fan. My little brother, Buccaneers fan. Why? Because they have cannons in their stadium and they're dressed like pirates. I was like, okay. All right. That's cool. Like, who knows why the little brothers do what they do.
My brother, I mean, he was really young. I mean, he was surprisingly young when he was able to pick up football. And he doesn't even really know. The reason he gets, I guess when I was little, I just liked the colors. I mean, I have no reason beyond that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he has been steadfast when they've been bad, when they've been good. It doesn't matter. He sticks by him.
Yeah.
And he likes, like, all of Boston sports now because, I mean, he follows the Bruins, he follows the Red Sox, he follows the Celtics.
At least he's consistent.
I don't know why, but, I mean, the kid is on with it. He loves it and everything like that. So
you got to appreciate the consistency, you know? Oh, at least he's not, like, you know, switching teams and now all of a sudden he's, like, a Spurs fan.
Oh, it'd be
like...
one thing if he was bandwagon. We would be having a very different conversation. But if you're going to be a fan and you're going to be a fan through thick and thin, sure, by all means. But, yeah, if he was, like, a Seahawks fan all of a sudden after last
Which
year,
is like 90...
boy, do I love Marshawn Lynch. It's like gold teeth and everything.
90%
like
of their fan base, like, it's that they have that meme of Homer Simpson, like, coming out of the bushes, and it's, like, Seahawks fans after the Super Bowl. Like, it's... That's. I feel like nobody was a Seahawks fan unless you were from the greater Seattle area until they won the Super Bowl last year.
Either that or until they came out with those Nike jerseys, because those things are sharp,
Those are awesome.
Those are balling jerseys. It's like, I'm undecided, so I'm going to pick the coolest jerseys. The Seahawks are probably winning that.
Can they have the cool, like, reflective thing going on, too?
Whatever. I don't know who paid Nike to make those jerseys, but good on them, because I mean they won the jersey lottery out of the 32
Well, that's
teams.
That's a Phil Knight thing. He does the same thing for Oregon, and it's because that's the team he went to Oregon, so he makes all their, like, ridiculous 10,000 jerseys that they have and, like, their ridiculous color schemes. And he does the same thing for Seattle because he was a Seahawks fan. So I mean, I guess it pays to have a good designer. I mean, go back to the Reds, to
the
Washington
Ducks have, like, a new uniform every quarter, basically.
Exactly. Like, Washington, actually, the rapper Wale has been talking about how he wants to change the Wizards' uniforms, and he's going to get Kanye West to help him. So there's that.
See, that one
to not get excited about.
Yeah, I like when the Wiz went back to, like, the traditional Bullets.
I like what they
red,
have now.
Red, white, and blue. I
like
that. They look like the Bullets with the Wizards' name. I think they're
I don't
tight.
Think they need to change anything. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, changing the name, I think Wizards is dumb. I've always thought Wizards was dumb. But the reasoning for changing it was Abe Pollin. It was right after the Prime Minister of Israel was shot and killed. And Abe Pollin saying, well, bullets, you know, that connotates violence. I don't think that it's good that we have this name. And he changed it. And it really set a precedent, especially because you now see the exact opposite with the Redskins. Is Dan Snyder is like, oh,
no.
And he even said to USA Today, he was like, put it in all caps, I'm never changing the name of this team. What a jerk. Like,
stomping his feet like a 5-year-old. No, I'm not going to do it.
What a butthole. Like,
what a great way to end the podcast. Dan Snyder, what a butthole.
That'll be the title of this podcast, too. So you can search in iTunes, Dan Snyder, butthole.
You might find more than just this podcast. And be very good. Make sure safe search is on, by
the way. that's a good call. Yeah, definitely a good call on that one. You know, this is, I love how this works with us. We sit here and we do our pre-show notes and we're like, all right, so we're going to do this for like 20, 30 minutes and then we're going to cut it short. We start talking.
No,
we have
fun.
It
never happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is exactly how it is. And this is how it, honestly, if you guys were hanging out with us here, it would be the same thing. We'd start on one thing. We'd go off on another topic. We would just, it's fun. We enjoy it. We hope you guys are enjoying this too. Stay tuned because we've got more coming up.
Oh yeah.
We're going to have more podcasts that we're going to be recording. We've actually made a little makeshift studio.
Yeah, we're trying to get official here. I mean, we're doing our best, you know.
Yeah. Right now in the GGR Batcave that we have.
Yeah, we've been fluctuating on the release schedule. We're trying to come up with something more, but basically as they get recorded and edited, that's basically when we release. And we're trying to structure. We're batting around maybe 2 a week. That's what we're trying to think about. Yeah. But stay tuned, and again, go to greatgeekrefuge.com. You can drop the Squarespace.
That's so awesome. But that is so cool.
More information will be on there. You'll see a little GGR Pirate Radio tab there. That's where everything is.
Absolutely.
On that main page, stay tuned for details about release dates, where you can find it, everything like that. And you can also listen to the podcasts right there, download them right there if you don't use an iOS device, if you don't use iTunes.
Yep.
You can download them and put them on, they come as MP3s, put them in anything you want.
Absolutely. But again, guys, my name is Mike, signing off for Steve here. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Awesome, guys. Bye.